Turn then in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 23. And we just sang it, we'll read it, and I don't think it'll be redundant. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then let's read John 10. John 10, verses 11 through 16. The words of Jesus. John 10, 11 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So they will all be one flock and one shepherd. Surprised by Suffering. Title of a book written by R.C. Sproul. But also, it's a reality in almost all of our lives. Have you been surprised by suffering? Seldom do we anticipate suffering coming upon us. When was the last time a friend said to you, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to keep my appointment on Friday for lunch. I'm going to have a heart attack, and I'll probably be in the hospital that day. Or, you know, I'm sorry, I can't come because I'm going to have a car wreck that day, and I don't think I'll be able to drive. Or some other extremely tragic situation, a diagnosis that turned into a disease. And you've probably, I'll be surprised if you haven't been surprised by suffering, even within the last year. It's a common thing. We never plan for somebody to burglarize our house, to have a break-in, or other things that have been extremely sad for you in the last year or two. And yet, they came upon us suddenly. Never planned, never scheduled, but sometimes life-threatening, certainly riveting moments that we remember 30, 40, 50 years later like they were yesterday. So my question to you tonight is, what is your plan when suffering comes on you? It will come upon you. Jesus even promises it. You say, what do you mean he promises this? Look at John 6, John 16:33. In the world you have tribulation, Jesus says. It shouldn't surprise us that suffering crushes into your life. James says, the book of James, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't be dreading them, but realize they've come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance, But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you'll find you've become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. Suffering is part of the Christian life, and yet very few of us have a plan for times of suffering. Oh, I know you have insurance, car insurance, life insurance, health insurance. But do you have assurance? Do you have a plan for facing these crushing, crashing circumstances in your life? And that's what I believe this psalm gives us. So let's look at it in a little more depth. Spurius Zotahades, a commentator, said, "Doubtless this is the best love passage in the Old Testament." Maybe you have others, but certainly this is in the top 10 at least. And the testimony to that is that in our Psalter, not one or two or three, but four tunes are given to Psalm 23, this short psalm that has more selections than any of the other psalms in the Bible. Well, we know it was composed by David, and likely it was during his time of flight from Saul. Other psalms are full of David's complaints, but this is full of comfort, confidence, and goodness, Matthew Henry says. I see three word pictures in this psalm, three different pictures having to do with beginnings, but the pictures are not separate. They kind of flow into one another, and they're interrelated in the progress of the psalm. First of all, clearly there's a picture of a sheep being cared for by a shepherd and then going through different circumstances. But there are other explanations that weave back and forth in the psalm. It's interesting how there are some key words that relate back and forth in the psalm that we'll see. We're told in Psalm 78 that David was a shepherd. As a matter of fact, Psalm 78, the last couple verses of that psalm, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold, from following the nursing ewes. He brought him to the shepherd, Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. He guided them with a skillful hand. But interestingly enough, although David was a shepherd, he is not speaking here as a shepherd. But instead of he's speaking here as the sheep, a sheep that's included in this fold. And the Lord is the shepherd. Now there's a number of passages in the Old Testament that speak of both the good shepherd and in Psalm 34, the hireling. And Jesus picks up on both of those in John 10 when he says, "I am the good shepherd, not the hireling. I look for my sheep and I care for them and they are my own." Maybe the one of the most surprising things to me about Psalm 23 is the brevity of it. It's not a long psalm, but more than that, it's much shorter in the Hebrew than it is in the English. There are about 110 to 120 words in this powerful psalm in English, but in the Hebrew, there are only 60 words. David uses 60 words to say all of these things, to say these amazing truths that we're going to see now. And he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, because God the Lord is my shepherd, he gives me everything I need. The purchase of the Lord. He purchased me, number one. Number two, he gives me all of I need. Number three, he gives me protection, all the protection I need. And finally, the psalm ends up speaking about the person of the Lord. And so, purchased by the Lord, provision from the Lord, protection by the Lord, and the person of the Lord himself at the end of the psalm. Let's look at these. David explains, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I belong to the Lord." Now, a great book on this whole psalm is A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. That book, Philip Keller, tells about his years of experience as a shepherd, as a young man buying his sheep. And he spent all he had to buy just a few sheep. And then they became his flock, and he worked with them and learns many lessons. I would commend that book to you. It's a small book, but very powerful. A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And he talks about how in buying his sheep, he was investing his life savings. But when Jesus speaks of being the good shepherd in John 10, he says, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." It's important to realize that for you to become one of Jesus' own, he laid down his life to buy you, to purchase you. Ezekiel 34, as I mentioned, speaks of bad shepherds, of the hireling of the sheep, the one who buys sheep in order to eventually devour them. And when the wolf comes, he flees from them. But Jesus explains that when you are in trouble, when you are in desperate need, he doesn't abandon you. He's that good shepherd, not the hireling. And you can think back, I can think back anyway, to times in which I was in some serious heartache, suffering, and crisis. And I only found Jesus pulling in on me. Now, it didn't seem that way at the time because I was surprised by the suffering that came upon me. One night particularly, I woke up in the middle of the night, been chewing on some problems the night before, woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had to read through almost 40 psalms before I found some comfort and peace. But worse, it took me a while to get to that point where I wanted to look at those psalms, where I thought to look at them. The Lord purchased me in dying on the cross to make me his own. Provision from the Lord, particularly in verse 1 and 2, this beautiful language, these words that have formed the backdrop for several famous artists. Walter Salzman painted several scenes out of this psalm, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me and makes me lie down in green pastures to enjoy. We have this promise over and over again in this psalm that not only am I purchased by him, but I am also provided for by him. The shepherd, most importantly, is the feeder of the sheep. He gets them to places where they're going to be able to pasture. And the pastures in several places in the world, maybe even many places of the world, are not available the whole season. And so Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, talks about how as the season progresses, he has to take them to higher and higher ground. And finally, he has to take them through dark, lonesome valleys. The shepherd supplies whatever the sheep need. Memorized a verse that meant a lot to me as a young man. "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and I'll receive." Boy, what a promise for a young man to go on. And it was tested when I was at a navigator training program in about 1969 in Michigan. And the training program was called STEAM, Summer Training in Evangelism and Missions. And that training program was an effort to prepare people, men and women, for missions service. and I volunteered to be there, and I was there that summer. And the weekend came after working all week and being involved in various things, particularly prayer meetings the night before. Then they told us that the next day after work was over with, we'd all load up into cars by our teams and go out into small cities around Lansing, Michigan, to spend the weekend witnessing. But we would only, as Jesus described to us, he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No extra gas for the car, no money in your pocket, no extra food supply. And so, with great trepidation, we left that day after work and went over to a city and began to do evangelism in the street. And we encountered a number of people. But one person took a lot of interest in us and began to ask a lot of questions. Where were we staying? Obviously, Christian people, you know, what are you doing here? Where are you going to stay tonight? We said we didn't have any place. You know, they were quite surprised. And so they bought us a meal, and then they took us home, and we had comfortable beds to sleep in both Friday night and Saturday night. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I don't recommend that for just anybody and everybody. It's not something I'm going to try to get our CYPU to begin to practice, but it was a very exciting event as we saw people provide for us, and before we left town, they filled our tank with gas. I saw what I had by way of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of faith. And I think I can tell you many stories about times when was just a great physical need. But more importantly are those times that you've had, too, where you had a particular need and you really took it to the Lord in prayer. Now, there are some of those stories that aren't finished yet in my life, in your life. There are great needs I have for God's protection, for God's provision. We are purchased because the Lord is my shepherd, David says. He purchased me. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he's provided for me. But thirdly, because the Lord is my shepherd, he gives me protection, the protection I need. He guides me through the avalanche zone. He guides me through the predators on the mountain. As the shepherd takes the sheep from the lowland up into the high country, the traveling is difficult and dangerous. He leads me and doesn't just send me on ahead, but he walks with me. As a matter of fact, we see that several times in the psalm. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord just doesn't send us someplace. He goes with us, even in those dangerous times, even in the midst. So God comforts the living saint who's surprised by suffering. Many years ago, our family faced the greatest crisis of our life. Beyond a doubt, it was a tragedy that I still weep over. And yet, in the midst of that, well, as a matter of fact, the day after, I awoke, but I refused to open my eyes. I hoped that if I didn't open my eyes, maybe it really hadn't happened. It was beyond my description to describe the sorrow in my heart at that moment. I'd made it look good, and I made it good for others, but now I personally was experiencing the terror and the dread of what had happened. Surprised by suffering. And yet the Lord says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And that very thing has become one of the most wonderful things in our life. The tragedy has turned to joy and to dancing. He restores my soul. He leads me. He leads me. He goes with me through those times of sorrow. Now, I may not be quick to recognize, just as I was telling you about the 3 o'clock in the morning, when I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so terrorized, so tragic, I didn't realize the Lord was with me. It took me getting into the book to begin to realize the Lord was with me, and it wasn't just words or it wasn't just a phrase. But He also comforts, not only does He comfort the living saints, but He also comforts the dying saint. He leads me through the path of righteousness. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. And so even though we too will lie down someday in sickness, in old age, He gives me this word, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. And so even in times of the finality of our life, even in times of the confidence of our eternal life, He says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's been my honor and also my responsibility to be there with a number of our saints that have died during their dying time. And it's a privilege and a blessing to be able to witness the end of their life, to see the solidity and the confidence and the sureness that they walked through death's doors, because it gives me that same kind of confidence. The shepherd conducts us through the valley of the shadow of death into eternal life. And that's what this psalm tells us, that on the other side, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our confidence. That's our surety. But whether it's through death's door or whether it's on into continued life, the surprising thing about this psalm is that the abundant table that he talks about here is on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. Okay? It's not in the valley. It's not in those green pastures and by those quiet waters. It's not in a peaceful moment even. But we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death to come out on the other side to enjoy this table before Him. This table of great abundance Jesus gives us, He promises to give us. But it's on the other side of the time of suffering. That's true for those, the living saint, and it's true for the dying saint. And so we can look forward to all the goodness that God has. Now, notice that the table is in the presence of my enemies. See, there's still that sword rattling, but we sit at the table of His abundance and enjoy the abundance of the Lord with quiet heart and with quiet mind, even though it's in the presence of our enemies. If you've gone through this kind of deep suffering, deep sorrow, deep heartache, you know that God has great abundance for you on the other side. Because God the Lord is my good shepherd, He's purchased my soul. He's given me provisions for my soul. He's given me protection. But he ends the psalm in the most interesting way, because he ends it with the person of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Second time that word Yahweh, Yod, Lord, that covenant name, in theology it's called the Tetragrammaton. And that's a technical word meaning this word that is usually pronounced Yahweh. Now, the Hebrew would not dare pronounce that because it was such a holy name. It wouldn't be uttered by the Hebrew. It was the name given for God, by God himself, for himself in Exodus 3. And it's repeated several times in these pages. But what's notable here is it begins the passage and it ends the passage. It is the Yahweh name at the beginning and the Yahweh name at the end. And so David here is determining to cleave to the Lord, his personal name, his holy name. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. So, what is your assurance? Not what is your insurance. I know you all have car insurance and homeowners insurance and health insurance and life insurance. But what is your assurance? What is your go-to when tragedy and trouble crashes into your life? What are you going to turn to in those most crushing times that might be ahead for some of us? Well, I'd suggest to you that that's a project that you ought to take seriously. You ought to sit down sometime soon, tonight, this week, and say, what is my go-to passage of Scripture? In these times of tragedy, when they do come, and they will come, what are you going to go to? What's going to be the Scripture that you have maybe written in the front of your Bible? I would suggest that you have a little passage in the front of your Bible. Maybe three or four, six or eight passages you will go to in those times of crisis and tragedy and heartache. And who are you going to go to? What are the names of the people that you'll go to when you want to cry? When you need to cry? And when you ought to cry? Who are those people that you have confidence and will go to when you want to reveal the deepest recesses of your heart? For me, it was Dr. Blackwood. No, hands down. When I got too desperate, when I got too sad, when I got too convicted and too guilty, it was him. He's the one I went to repeatedly. Certainly my wife later became that. But for each of us, there's somebody that we can trust with the deepest recesses of our heart, knowing they won't betray us, knowing they won't laugh at us, knowing they won't think worse of us. One of the things I began to do in the pastorate was I would give this to people in the hospital. I gave it to a number of men, and then they gave it back to me, so I still have it today. It's the same copy. It's what I put in front of their eyes. It's what they could look at when they were facing their hospitalization and their hospital tragedy. And one or two of them died with this on their nursing stand. It wasn't intended as a conversation getter to witness to nurses or orderlies. It was intended to be before their eyes. And several of them told me how to be able to meditate on this was a big help to them in the hospital. It may not be Psalm 23 for you. It may be other passages that you think so much of. And the passage needs to conform to the crisis too. But I would recommend, I would suggest to you to take some quiet time this week and just scribble down a couple key passages, scriptures, and also maybe one or two or three names of people that you felt like you could go to in times of tragedy. May I pray with you together? Lord, your word is life to us. Your scriptures are inspired by you, and they're profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in right living. Lord, we desire to be men and women, boys and girls of this book, who have this book treasured in our mind and heart, who turn to it in times of crisis. Lord, may you make this Psalm 23 one of those passages, but may you make us wise and anticipating the ways of the Lord. We ask it then in Jesus' name. Amen.